Valentine's Day Eve.
Yeah. That means get on it.
Really, you're running out of time.
You got to get something quick.
Just be nice to your significant other.
Make that the gift. Just a gift of nice.
Would that be so bad?
I'm sure that it will be appreciated. Yeah, don't put too much into it. Just be nice for a change, punk.
Wow. Just because you're taken care of.
I thought I'd personalize it.
Bill acted early because his wife is going out of town, so you feel you're above everyone else because you're already finished with it.
It feels like I have already finished my Christmas shopping for the year because so many times on Valentine's Day or the day before, I've gone, oh, it's tomorrow. What happened? Like, you know, usually February 13th is a dangerous day because you go, it's tomorrow. I haven't done or thought of anything special to do. But it's all done.
I'm going to bust your bubble a little bit.
That's fine.
Is your bubble made for busting?
My bubble's made for busting.
I think it's great that you did this and you thought ahead because Terry wouldn't be able to fully enjoy her flowers and
treats. What's your shelf life on a bouquet of flowers?
A week.
Is it about a week?
Yeah.
All right, so
maybe a little longer if you really change the water.
Yeah, right. I guess so. I figured with her leaving early Friday morning for 4 days.
And you won't take care of it. So in your case,
I would not
3 days.
If that. So I thought, let's get the flowers a couple days early so she will enjoy them a few extra days. And it worked like a charm.
Beautiful, beautiful sentiment. And yes. You should be
commended. You should be given the Congressional Medal of Romance.
But you're like lauding this over at everyone. Like, come on, you got to think.
It's the first year I've done it right.
Okay,
I always mess it up.
But you do the same thing every year, pretty much.
Mm.
Flowers and chocolates.
Well, yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
It's variations on those themes.
All right, but you're like, come on, it's one day. You got to put a lot of thought into it. It's really, you don't put that much thought into it. It's the same thing every year.
I normally don't. This year,
what did you do different? Oh, because the advance notice.
Because it was advance, right.
I said commended.
Yeah, that was a rare good. Thank you, Wendy. That's very kind. That was a rare good move, and it did not go unnoticed. She was very, very, like, just when you think you know all your opponent's moves and plays, oh, when they fade to the left, they jump in on the right, and they make the hook shot. She even said, she goes, this was nice, you know, and the card made her cry.
It did?
Yeah, it was really nice. Very poignant. Very poignant.
That's where you were
or going. Pungent.
I don't
Wait,
like to make Jim
it?
Cry.
No, it's better
poignant.
To not make them cry, but when it does, like this, I mean, I dug deep into my soul, and I found the right words. I spelled them right, and I did that thing where you use a ruler when you write it on the card so that it's evenly written.
You're
you know right. what I mean?
Yeah.
It looked very romantic.
Does your arm hurt from patting yourself on the back so many times?
I'm ambidextrous, so as soon as my arm starts to hurt, I pat it with my other arm.
That's good to
yeah.
know.
Oh, I have to tell you this. I totally forgot to tell you this. As you know, Wendy, Sunday, or all last weekend, really, was Fashion Week in New York. That's why I had to leave the show right away on Friday. As soon as we were done on Friday, I was out the door and through the window because I had to be in New York for Fashion Week. So my daughter lives there, and she attended an event on Saturday, and it was at a very ritzy hotel in New York. It might have been the Ritz in New York. That's you can't get ritzier than the Ritz.
Dun, dun,
that's
dun,
as ritzy
dun,
as... Dun, 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 they were putting it on. They were putting it on at the fashion show. So she is she's in the lobby, and she's going upstairs to where the event takes place. And normally, it even says on the elevator that the capacity for that particular elevator was 12. That's what it said. She counted 20.
Oh, my God.
And two-thirds of the way up to where they were going, the elevator stopped and was stuck there for more than a half an hour.
I would have freaked out.
Well, she said normally she would have handled it fine. But listen to this. In the history of the wrong things to say... And there have been times where I have been the one to say the wrong thing in the wrong place at the wrong time. So it's ascending as an elevator is supposed to do.
Right.
And then all of a sudden it jolts and it stops and the lights flicker.
Oh boy.
And then the lights go back, like they flicker for a second and then they're back on, but the elevator is not moving. So everybody's like, wow, that could have been bad, but it wasn't bad because we're all still here and the lights are on, so it's going to kick in eventually.
Or the cable could break.
Or the cable could snap. Well, listen to what a guy said. This is awful. this guy is looking up and he's looking around the elevator. He's right by my daughter, and he looks around. He goes, I got to tell you guys. And he starts shaking his head and he goes, I'm an engineer. And he goes, there's 20 of us in an elevator that's built for 12. The air's not going to hold out for very long.
My God.
That's like even if it was true, that's not a good thing to say in an elevator filled with people for Fashion Week.
No, and then everybody starts hyperventilating, so they're going to use the oxygen quicker.
Faster. Well, then everybody starts talking about the validity of his statement, and that also is using up your valuable oxygen. They also pried open the door to the elevator because they said we should see where we are. Like maybe we're really close to a floor, and if we open the door, we can either climb up to that floor or bend down.
Who's
going to
really do that? They only do that in movies.
Well, that you know that you see it in movies. You go, there must be something to it. I've seen it in movies. So they do. They get two of the strongest men on the left and two of the strongest women on the right, and they pull and they pull and they pull. And then the doors open, and it's a concrete wall like right up against them.
Bad,
there's
bad
nothing
timing.
They could do. Horrible timing. Yeah.
So how long were they in it?
Just over half an hour. They kept calling the main desk at the hotel that they were at, and they kept getting answering machines, which is not what you want.
That's when you call 911.
Yeah. They eventually somebody called the New York Fire Department and told them what was going on.
That's 911,
yeah.
Right?
I guess so. Yeah. I don't know. I wasn't in it. I was home safe. I was planning my flower purchase for early on Valentine's week. So they were rescued. Everybody was happy and safe. She said there were two people that were like woozy from being in think about it. In a box filled for 12 people, you got 20 people.
Bill, even if I was in there by myself for a half an hour, I'd be losing air because I would be hyperventilating. Yep. I would think, this is how I'm going to die. This is not how I want to go.
No one wants to die that way. No one. They did, like, one guy boosted up another guy, and he pushed, again, you've seen this in movies 1,000 times, at the top of the elevator. Although, I've looked at elevators, and I only see these every once in a while. There's, like, a plate that you can, it's like the opposite of a manhole cover. You can push it up and move it over. But then I wouldn't want to climb up that, because then what do you do?
Well, no, stay in the car, because...
They did it to get more oxygen into the elevator car. Their intent was to not, although she said when the fire guys came, that was their initial plan, was to pull people out through the top of it, but then they thought better of it and they inched it down to a closer floor. But that could have been scary.
Poor Kylie.
Yeah. It ruined Fashion Week for her. You can't enjoy Fashion Week after an ordeal like that. It's ruined, you know. It's ruined.
I guess. Well, I wanted to share with you, we were talking off the air. I don't know if Panera is considered a fast food restaurant or I guess a fast food restaurant. Is it fast food or is it a restaurant?
Remind me, Panera is one of the ones where you go to the counter and you order the food at the counter and then they give it to you and then you go sit down.
Yeah.
I'm going to go fast food on that.
They have healthy choices, though. They have fantastic. Their Green Goddess salad is just out of this world. And I particularly love the sourdough soup in a bread bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And just in time for Valentine's Day, starting tomorrow,
mm-hmm.
all over at participating Panera locations across the country,
mm-hmm.
what's better than a bread bowl of soup, a single bread bowl of soup, a double bread bowl?
Well, that's twice as much bread.
It is.
I just did the math. I'll show my work. Hold on.
I have to show you the picture. It almost looks like a dog food dish where there are two incisions cut out.
Now I'm in.
Well, that's what it reminds me of. But I mean, what better way to share? Like sometimes Jim likes the cheesy broccoli soup and I like the homestyle chicken noodle.
Yes.
So you could get your soup in a bread bowl. And then eat it together. It's only for a limited time.
So romantic.
This bread vessel is quite conducive to sharing.
Wait, time out. Is Panera referring to it as a bread vessel, or did you just make that up?
It says it here.
It does? In their press release?
Yeah, this is from Refinery 29, but it's been all over the place on the internet. It's the double bread bowl at participating Panera locations across the country starting tomorrow.
The two bowls of bread are not conjoined, though.
Yes, they are.
They are?
Wait, have you ever had a bread bowl?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. But now this is...
Not at a Panera, though. There was a Cajun restaurant in the southwest suburbs.
So difficult.
That had shrimp bowls. So it was bread.
What kind of bread?
Shrimp bread. I don't know. I'm not sure what kind of bread. But it was bread in the shape of like a football stadium. And then inside that was an array of shrimp. It's delicious.
That sounds pretty good.
It was so good. And then, like all foods, as soon as I told people how good it was, they stopped making it. Like the minute
you're the kiss of death?
The minute I was done telling somebody, this is like the greatest thing in the world, Cajun shrimp bowl. And then the restaurant just said, we're not going to make it anymore. The Maple Tree Inn, by the way.
Oh, I actually...
Have you ever been there?
Yes, it's no longer there.
Asked for the... They used to be in a part of Beverly in an old house.
That's the one I went to.
That was the original one. And then they moved to another part of Beverly in a more established restaurant setting. And then when they moved, they stopped making the shrimp bread bowl because I liked it.
Wow, I didn't have the shrimp bread bowl when
so
I was
good.
There. Here,
so
I'm going to show you a picture of the double bread bowl at Panera. It's just like a giant sourdough loaf, and then there's two cutouts.
You know what it looks like? The shoes that the dwarves wore in Snow White.
This is a different view where it looks like a dog bowl.
Oh, yeah. That doesn't look good.
But
the first
it is
one looked
good.
Really good.
And
you shouldn't do it from... That looks like it was taken from over, like directly overhead, the second shot.
Yeah, it's not as flattering.
Blimp. It's a blimp shot.
But I just think this is an interesting thing. Although, what if you go by yourself and you don't want to share? Because I would get their mac and cheese in one side and maybe the chicken
would
noodle.
Laugh at you.
I guess I'd look bad with two.
You would look selfish.
Valentine's Day.
Right.
She's got no one.
You would hear rumblings of that throughout the Panera.
Did you guys see what Olive Garden's doing?
What are they doing,
They're
Jasmine?
They're selling their breadstick bouquets. Like, literally, you can get a bouquet of breadsticks.
A bouquet of breadsticks. Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Wendy, that's very romantic.
Oprah would love it. She
I'd
loves bread.
Yeah.
I would take it, too.
Yeah.
Do you remember, first of all, this is brought to you by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men. What's hot? What's cold? What's hot is the soup in the double bread bowl
sure.
at Panera for Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
Starting tomorrow. Michael, my son, was in a play, Jesus Christ Superstar, at LT High School mm-hmm. a couple years ago.
Rave reviews, by the way.
Thank you.
Yeah.
He does have them. He's actually in a play this weekend, too, but he's just in the orchestra pit. They're doing Grease.
Yeah.
So he's doing playing guitar with the soundtrack. So that will be very fun. But I wanted to get him bacon roses. Do you remember this? There was a company that sent him, like beef jerky roses. And they were, I couldn't get it in time because some listener suggested it. There was a place you could go. Well, someone has put,
remind me, are those roses that are either
made
scented?
Out of jerky?
Oh, right. I do remember this. Yeah.
Right. Well, now there are various websites. You can buy bacon roses at Amazon, candied bacon roses, but if you just, anyone, and this would be great for a guy on Valentine's Day. That's why I'm saying this.
Yes.
There are how-tos of how to make your own bacon roses.
Is it difficult? I don't...
Preheat the oven. You tear the flower petals off. You have to buy real roses, and you tear the flower petals off.
Mm-hmm.
And then you take a strip of bacon, starting at one end. You roll it up tightly to form a rosette. You place that bacon on a cookie sheet in the oven.
Yeah.
And 45 to 55 minutes until they're well cooked and have a good color. And then you have to figure out some way to get it on the stem.
Oh.
But
that could be a problem.
It's
easy.
According to this, there's a DIY instruction of how you do it.
That's what I'll get for Lou Manfredini.
He'd love it.
I think
although he's eating Seattle Sutton, he's eating healthy now.
Oh.
Once cool, take each roll and wiggle it onto the stem. Repeat until the whole bunch is complete. Give it to someone you love, or sit there and eat them yourself.
Either way, you're
but
in
what?
Good
a
shape.
Come on, you wouldn't like a bouquet of bacon roses?
It's a novel idea. I guess so. So it would still taste. There's no reason to believe
bacon.
It would still taste like bacon.
What would it taste like?
I don't know if there's any like plant residue on it. Would there be? There might be some, right?
I say you should get nothing and like it. That's all.
That's what I get. I'm just saying, I don't
You'd
want to.
You pull them off and eat it.
Oh, all right. And you give a dozen of them?
That's maybe a single bacon
that's
rose.
That's a lot of bacon. You got to admit, 12 of them would be a lot.
12 strips of bacon? Well, you wouldn't have to eat them all at once. What do you have?
Bacon,
you're all black and white. There's no gray with you.
Sit well, you can't put bacon aside for a couple of days. I'm just
not a couple of days. I'm talking about a half hour.
Mm. That's too much. That's more bacon than I eat in a decade. You got to think if you're going to get me
something
nice.
Are you a real man?
Yes.
He's holding his arms up like the Charles Atlas commercial.
Put the globe over me. Go ahead. I'll lift it up.
No, the kicking whole sand in your face.
Oh, that guy.
The after guy who puts his biceps up.
They should make a movie of that. That was a great storyline.
Also, as I am wont to do, I like to steal ideas from the internet because really everybody does.
Right.
Hence Pinterest.
That's what it is, isn't it?
Everybody shares ideas, and then you steal ideas. You don't really steal them, because people put them up there for you to come up.
To be stolen.
But they kind of do.
Yeah.
There is a place that does a donut bouquet, where you can purchase it. It's like, it might be the fruit place, like Harry and David or something.
Oh, yeah.
But you could just make your own bouquet of donuts. Just go, I know you like Stan's Donuts.
Yes,
I like Krispy Kreme.
Yeah.
And you could just get one of those floral sheets and put donuts in there.
Oh, that's
Come
great,
on, that's a good
that's
idea.
That's a very good
Your
idea.
Your daughter Reese loves Stan's Donuts.
I know.
She's going to be home. Your wife's out. Why don't you do that for Reese? She would love you.
I already have a Stan's Donut related thing for her. I really do.
I just walked in, but have you guys seen the pickle bouquet?
No.
What is that? Kim Gordon joins us.
For Valentine's Day? Yeah, I saw it. It wasn't a Pinterest thing, but they are selling like a pickle bouquet for Valentine's Day. My kids would love that.
Yeah.
They adore pickles.
I got to see what a pickle bouquet is. How do you do it?
Just Google it. I think you have to order it because they have the pickles like cut to look like flowers. Is it popping up?
Yes. How to make a pickle bouquet.
No, we can make it.
See, go to delish.com. Today's show, I'm telling you, ideas on the internet are meant to be stolen.
Yes.
Not like for monetary reasons,
right.
But for like do it yourself.
Creative ideas, absolutely, because I'm not very creative, but things like that on Pinterest and I've been able to do.
This is beautiful. It has some of those like those peppers that aren't very hot. They're like pickled peppers. There are, I love pickles.
I'm telling you, the pickled bouquet.
You could add
where
olives.
It's at.
Look at how pretty that is. You put a little baby's breath and eucalyptus was surrounding it.
Mm. It's cool.
Mm.
When I saw it was, at first it was a joke and then I was looking more closely at it and I'm like, this is actually kind of cool for somebody who likes pickles.
So, Kim, you weren't in the room, but we've already established there are bacon bouquets. There are, what was the other one you said, Wendy?
The Panera.
Donut.
Oh, yeah, donut bouquets.
So right now, if you sell anything, you just put it in the shape of a bouquet of flowers, and you're in good shape for
Valentine's
Day.
Well, you just appreciate things more when you get something that you can tell somebody put time and effort into, and it looks pretty, you know?
You're right. You're right. All right, we will take a break. Kim's got some news for you next.
And a pickle bouquet.
And then, if everything goes well.
It's a dilly of a bouquet.
Kim, hot off the press. How about that? All right, and then more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. A couple things I heard on TV, one yesterday, one 2 days ago, that I want to run past you. Not for debate reasons, just to get your thoughts on it. Number one, as you know, El Chapo got his sentencing. Right, he's been found guilty. I don't know if the
all
sentencing
charges.
Part, right?
He'll be sentenced this summer, but he was found guilty on all 10 charges.
Right. So this was the part that I found interesting yesterday, as they're talking about the legacy of him and what he has done internationally in terms of his crimes. One of the DEA agents who brought him down said that, with the exception of Osama bin Laden, this is the worst guy of our lifetime. And I thought, wow, those are some pretty strong words. But then I was thinking about it. Certainly top five or top 10, but would he be, in your opinion, would he be the number two? Would it be Osama bin Laden and then El Chapo as your one, two worst guys of our generation?
Well, if you think about it indirectly, because of all the drugs that he got into this country, he's killed way more people than Osama bin Laden.
Is that right?
Well, I'm just, indirectly, because it was tons, like 200 something tons of cocaine he has brought into this country.
Wow.
So if you think about that, I mean, I'm sure there's overdoses. I'm sure there's deaths. I'm sure people have been killed over drug wars and all those things. So probably I would think.
Yeah.
For as long as he's been doing
it? He's been doing it since
the '80s, I think.
89.
Yeah.
By the early 90s, Guzman was on the radar of the DEA and FBI and was considered one of Mexico's most powerful and dangerous drug traffickers. In addition to cocaine, Sinaloa cartel,
No, that's how you say it.
Sinaloa. They trafficked heroin. In addition to cocaine, they trafficked heroin, marijuana, methamphetamines into the U.S. and beyond. Eventually, the cartel's tentacles touched five continents and grew to be the biggest drug operation in the world.
And they also blame a lot of the illegal guns that come in and out of Chicago on his cartel.
Is that right?
Yes.
So what? So obviously they caught him, but they didn't stop his operation.
No,
right?
I think it continues.
He maintained his power.
Yeah.
Through bribes, he arranged for conjugal visits and was largely allowed to run his drug operation while behind bars.
Yeah. And he had escaped at some point, right? But they found him. Didn't he tunnel out of somewhere?
They're saying that he's going to go to this high security prison in Denver, which they call like the Alcatraz of the mountains or something. Yeah, that's where they're predicting he's going to go. Oh. That there's no way to get out of there. Oh.
In July 2015, he escaped twice, I guess.
Wow.
But the last time was July 2015. For this escape, Guzman slipped through an opening in his cell's shower section, made his way down a 30-foot ladder, and then traveled through a tunnel network that connected his cell to a house that was still under construction about a mile away.
So you have to imagine they set up a network of people because money is no object to him. He's so wealthy.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So they must have paid off a bunch of people to look the other way to let that escape take place, right?
The key question, Bill, is who will play him in the movie?
Who will play him in the movie? Mm. Who do you think? Do you have a pick? Is that, by the way, remember there was a time where Sean Penn was meeting with him and with other people in his operation?
I forgot about that.
Was that for movie purposes? Why was
I thought it was for an article or something.
Like a documentary or something?
Is that what that was?
I don't remember. I forgot about that. But I don't know who will play him.
James Gandolfini could have.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe.
I'm looking at a picture.
That's very tough. He doesn't... When you look at his picture, I mean, there's a couple of different versions. There's today's version of him with his closely cropped hair. And
how old is he now? Does it say?
He's got to be in his late 40s or early 50s.
I know he's got a 29-year-old wife, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just want to tell you that he was nicknamed El Chapo or Shorty. For his 5'6 height. That's what El Chapo means.
Danny DeVito.
Danny DeVito could play El Chapo. Riga!
His date of birth is believed to be April 4th, 1957.
Oh, it's coming up.
Oh, so he's.
But other outlets listed as December 25th, 1954.
Oh.
Okay, so he's in his 50s at least.
All right, another person, if I may just bring this up, because I was watching Joe Donlan and Micah Mater yesterday. And during
Joe Donlan couldn't play El Chapo, Wendy.
No, I'm not saying
he's too handsome.
He's very handsome.
But they did an update on Bill Cosby.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And this is, he said that he thinks prison is an amazing experience.
Oh, Bill Cosby said
mm-hmm.
that. Oh.
I saw this and I was like, despite the circumstances, Bill Cosby said his time in prison is, quote, an amazing experience. This is according to his press spokesman, Andrew Wyatt.
Yeah.
He used the term amazing experience. He is...
That wouldn't be the word I would think he would use to describe his time there.
And I also saw where he wasn't
He's
humble.
In Philadelphia.
Well, they said initially he was pretending to be Dr. Huxtable when he was there. Did you see the story?
No, but
this was a couple of weeks ago that he was, when addressing other people in and around the jail, he wanted to be known as Cliff Huxtable.
Which do you think he has a split personality
I don't know what would be in it for him to be that way. I wonder how...
He's lost a lot of weight. He gave up coffee and bread and dessert.
Yeah.
He wakes up at 3:30 in the morning to exercise in his cell. And Camille has not come to see him per his request.
Yeah.
He said, don't bother coming to see me, but they talk 3 times a day for 3 minutes every day.
Mm.
The prison is 30 miles outside of Philadelphia. And I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I had to get this information out there.
That's strange.
He's mentally strong, just a strong man, said his press secretary.
So what do you think is the perception of him with the other inmates?
Okay, first of all, he still has a press secretary from jail.
Yes.
Not press secretary. I guess it is.
His spokesperson?
Spokesperson, yes.
Yeah.
Okay, that's pretty impressive, but okay. I'm sorry, Bill.
I just wonder, like, how he's perceived by the other inmates, because I don't know if they would go, oh, wow, it's a celebrity, it's Bill Cosby, and welcome him with open arms, or
could
how
you autograph my bar of soap, please, and don't drop it.
Oh, no.
I feel like in the prison world, OJ would have been more of a celebrity than Bill Cosby, but maybe I'm wrong.
Well, it says that Cosby is living largely separated from other inmates, except that he has helpers who guide him around because of his vision problems. Oh. He's nearly blind.
Yeah.
He does not eat in the area with other residents. He does not have a cellmate, and he does not exercise with other residents. The general population cells where Cosby is being held are arrayed in two stories around like a central day room where inmates can talk, watch TV, or play cards. This is prison. I would like some time off to just talk and watch TV or play cards, do some crafts, exercise.
Yeah.
Not have to cook. I mean, it makes prison sound like an amazing place.
Well, there are, you already know this, there's different degrees. There's some prisons that they call country club prisons that they sell, that they'll send you, depending on what your crime is, they'll send you to one of these country club prisons where that's basically all you do all day is you watch TV, you play chess.
Yeah, what did they call when Martha Stewart was at, like, Camp Cupcake?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's something wrong with these prison systems because I'm not saying, I was horrified. Kim has to go. She and Ryan are the only ones in the newsroom.
And Ryan gets scared. He thinks there's ghosts.
She has to hold him. This terrible story, it was over the polar vortex freeze we had, that there was a prison, was it in New York, I think, and they had lost power. So prisoners were out there banging on the bars that would lead out into the street. You know, they were wailing in pain, they were freezing, and people who had family members in that prison were out there protesting, saying this is unacceptable.
Right.
And I'm not saying you have to be inhumane, but you shouldn't be able to, you know, crochet a blanket and go watch, you know, The View.
Yeah.
Should you? What's the...
I want to say it depends on the crime, but it depends on a lot more than the crime. You certainly have to treat them hospitably.
Well, you have to humanely, for sure.
They need
to eat and have a place to sleep.
Right.
But this is prison. This isn't a dormitory.
I wouldn't do well in prison.
I'd get stoned and not, like, off a weed. Somebody would kill me.
Right.
Because I'd be crying probably an hour.
Yeah, an hour.
Yeah.
I wouldn't do well. Although it'd be strange. Like, Bill Cosby doesn't have a cellmate, does he?
No, I just read that he, because of his vision problems, he does not have a cellmate, he does not exercise or eat with other residents.
Yeah.
He's in, like, the Gen Pop area, sort of, but he's mainly separated from the other inmates.
Yeah.
And he has helpers.
Oh, all right. That makes sense. Here's the other thing from TV that I wanted to mention to you.
Okay.
I was watching Stephen Colbert's show two nights ago. And do you watch the show at all?
Never.
You've never seen it? All right.
No, I know who he is. I know what he does.
It's not for you.
Regular.
He's got a band leader whose name is Jean Baptiste.
I love that guy.
He's good. He's really good. He's a musician. He was nominated for a Grammy, and he attended the Grammy Awards on Sunday. He did not win. So they're talking a little bit about him being at the Grammys, and Stephen Colbert is making fun of the fact, not maliciously, but with love in his heart, that Jean Baptiste flew all the way to Los Angeles. The show's shot in New York. Flew all the way to Los Angeles, attended the award show, didn't win, flew all the way back. That was his whole trip, right? Flew out, sat there, watched somebody else's name get called, flew back. So Stephen Colbert was making fun of that schedule, and Jean Baptiste was just kind of taking it. And then after a while, after sitting silently and laughing along, because it was pretty funny, he said, "I don't judge my success on the awards that I win." And everybody just goes, "Whoa," like that. And then Stephen Colbert didn't say anything. He just walked over and he hugged him. And I thought to myself, what that guy just said, what John Baptiste just said, is something that every one of us should have in our heads, not necessarily with those terms, but just the thought of, I don't care. Maybe I won, maybe I lost, doesn't matter to me. I know what I'm doing is good, and I'm happy doing it, so what
do
I care?
Well, that's exactly what Drake said.
You know what? Yeah, that is a version of what Drake said,
and,
yes.
You know, I've heard various radio hosts at the station say conflicting stories. John Williams was talking about it, and he said, you know, and Drake did kind of stop and say, but... And there was a pause, and the music swelled. But then I heard Dean say that they actually offered him a chance, like, hey, go back. And he's like, no, whatever. He put his hands up like, I'm good.
Oh.
I got out what I needed to get out. I don't think he was slamming the Grammy Awards.
So the controversy, because I didn't see this, but I read about it, so I don't know how the timing went. The controversy was whether or not the Grammys stopped him from saying something anti-Grammy.
Right, and I don't think they did. And he wasn't saying that he wasn't honored to win a Grammy, but he was saying, you know, young people today, if you have people, and again, I'm paraphrasing, but if you have people that wake up and go to work every day and they're going to spend money to go see you, if they're buying your records,
you're
already a winner.
Right. Yeah.
So you don't need this to prove you're a winner.
Right.
I didn't take offense to that at all. I mean, sure, it's cool. Like, if we won a Marconi Award, that would be awesome, but I don't really expect it.
Right.
Which is good, because we'll never get it.
We won't win it. No.
But you know what I'm saying? He wasn't really slamming it. He was just saying, you go ahead and you make your music. If you sell records, if people know the words to every one of your songs, you've already won. You don't need this statue to say it, and it kind of sounds like Jean-Baptiste.
It's a different version of the same speech, I guess. But, you know, we place such a high importance on winning, and no one's worse than that than I am. I'm so competitive and stuff. But I told you that my daughter opened my eyes, because she never asks whenever I play tennis or whenever I play anything, she never asks if I won or if I lost. All of her concern is, did you have a good time? When I come home from a match, Dad, did you have a good time? And that really, it was an eye-opener for me, because maybe that should be the focus. And I have to be honest, since that shift, things have changed for me, because there have been matches that I've lost that I've had it's been a great match. Somebody's going to win, somebody's going to lose. Whereas a couple years ago, before she kind of figured that out with me or for me, it would have bothered me for a couple of days. Like, oh, I can't believe I lost that match. But now I go, oh, I had a good time. What more rewarding experience can I ask for than that, you know?
And we think we teach our children
things. No,
it's
just the opposite.
She definitely has changed you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. A
From
thousand
just
times
that thing,
over.
Though, because you, didn't you play against somebody who beat you, but you shook his hand and said you were the better player or something?
Oh, that, well, things like that have happened. Whenever I play, and I used to do this even when winning was everything. When somebody makes a good shot and stuff, I'm the first one. I'll applaud. I'll tell them.
That was good.
I don't know how you did that. That was amazing. I always do that, you know. But there was a guy, one of the, when I did the thing in Indy a couple of years ago, who.
In India?
In Indy a couple of years ago.
Oh, I'm
Indianapolis.
Sorry. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Indianapolis.
Yeah, I know. I thought you said India. I was like, wait, I missed this match.
I played in India over the weekend. All right, so. He beat me. It was a very, very long, close match. And then I said to you, he needed it more than I did. He had a horrible year. His father-in-law, who he was very close to, had died. He had an incident with a sibling, a sister who got sick with a kidney ailment and stuff.
Oh.
And his wife was sitting next to my wife during the match and telling my wife what a horrible year he's had. And when it was over, I didn't know any of this till it was over. But then I thought, he's driving home, you know, on a year where he's just, everything wrong has happened to him, with a big smile on his face, and he needs that a lot more than I do. So that's something I probably wouldn't have been able
you
to pull off
no way.
Years ago.
Who cares what a crappy year he's had?
Right.
I didn't win the auction on eBay for that action figure.
Yes.
Yeah, you've changed.
So
our kids change us.
Oh, there's no doubt. They really.
And for the better.
Yeah. Yeah, my kids have easily taught me as much as I've taught them, and probably a lot more, which is hard to imagine, but it's true.
It's difficult being a parent. It is. I mean, really, the manual, I didn't get the manual.
Didn't come with your kids?
No, no. And even like in high school, consumer ed, we had to take consumer ed where you learned how to balance a checkbook, which I used to be so, like, if I was off even by a penny, I would go back months just to
figure it out.
Oh my God. Now it's like I just go on the app and it tells me how much I have. I haven't balanced a checkbook in years.
Well, don't you think it falls under, like, as you get older, you say to yourself, there are things that are just plain out and out of my control. And even if I don't, even if they don't balance out, in this case, your checkbook, there's worse things in the world. I can live with that. You know, sometimes it's a gradual figuring out process of those things. But as time has gone on, I have figured out the things that used to bother me sometimes on a daily or a weekly basis. Now I just go, what can you do? Whatever.
Well, that's part of growing up. And it took us a little longer than most people.
A lot longer than most. Yes.
I mean, we're just starting.
Yes. But see me in 20 years. I should be normal, almost normal in 20 years.
I don't think you'll ever be normal.
25. Mm-mm. Make it 25 years.
But the consumer education, consumer ed, you learned how to balance a checkbook. I don't know if they taught you how to do laundry, but that's the class you should have.
Right.
You know, how to do basic laundry, to do a load of laundry. There should be a parenting class I think everybody should be required to take.
So we never had anything similar to that thing where in high school, I know this is the plot for every sitcom that ever took place in a high school, but there's always one where you have to pretend that you have a baby.
Like the flour bag.
Yeah,
or
you have to walk
sack
around
of potatoes.
With one. But that only happens in TV, right? That's right? They don't do that.
I don't think
they did it on Room 222, but I don't think that happened in real life.
Wow, it goes back that far?
I think so. I think that's the first time I saw that as a plot device. Where, So, and if I remember right, usually they pair off a guy and a girl. They would do it differently today. They would have two guys together, two girls together, but they give them a basketball and they say, this is your baby. You must take care of it for a week.
That's a funny looking baby.
Right.
Yeah, that doesn't work either because, I mean, really, in the grand scheme of life, you could just put a basketball down and go, you know what? I've had it.
Right.
And, like, go out.
Right.
Can't do that with a baby.
No. No. Solid advice.
Thank you.
That's
very,
very
much.
Very, very solid.
Says it
advice.
On my bumper sticker.
Yes. All right, let's do this. We will take a break. Kim, thanks for hanging.
She had to go.
She didn't hang out at all.
I told you she had
what
to
am
go.
I thanking Kim for? She didn't hang out at all. She abandoned ship. All right, Wendy and I will come back. We will say our thank yous, and you can read the credits. That's all coming up next. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Says that so sexy.
I do
he?
Like it.
Boy,
it's time for Valentine's
hot.
Day. Someone has texted, Bill, we had an egg that we had to keep from breaking in high school in 1982, and I vaguely remember that.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought that on the TV shows where they do this, the experimental parenting, it's usually something roughly the size of a baby.
Well, this would be more fragile than a baby. I know a baby's fragile, but
babies
an egg
are very fragile.
Is way more fragile.
Right, right, right. On tomorrow's show, Wendy, scheduled to appear, Dean Richards, who told the most amazing story this morning. Did you hear him on Steve Cochran's
yes.
show?
Yes.
He told
They're
a story.
They're all amazing, Bill. I can't...
Every one of his stories is amazing. Do not get me wrong. But in this particular story, you know, he's got this Bozo special that will air on Sunday night about Bozo in the 1960s, right? So he said that was it yesterday or the day before, they got a postcard from somebody who wanted to play the grand prize game from 40 years ago.
I know. I
it
heard that.
It just arrived.
And they're trying to locate this woman, so we will have Dean put an APB out on our show as well.
I hope that that happens. That would be great to reunite.
They'll find her. But someone here has heard her name being mentioned in this Facebook friends with her. They probably already know where she is.
I hope so.
But they want to bring her back to play the grand prize game, which they've been doing all week to promote this Bozo thing.
Yes.
What
a
great story.
Mm-hmm.
And when I heard that, I'm like, that doesn't look good for the Postal Service.
No.
But I think it does make them look good because...
It got there eventually.
Yeah, well, because they found it maybe with one of these terrible people that stuffed mail under their porch or something. Maybe they found it and said, by golly...
We'll get
through
it over.
Rain, snow, sleet, or 40 years.
Yep.
We're sending
their mail.
It.
I'll get the postcard. All right, that's on tomorrow's show. And then Friday, it'll also be a show. Can I oversell
Valentine's
it?
Valentine's Day tomorrow, though.
Valentine's Day tomorrow, everybody. Fall in love. Bye, Wendy.
See you, Bill.